Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Big MX Radio Podcast. I am your host, Brad Gebhardt, and this episode is brought to you by Racetech. Let's be honest, it's probably been a season or two since you had the suspension off your motorcycle, and the engine could probably use some attention as well. Thankfully, our friends over at Racetech can do both, and you as well as I know. We've got the gold valves in the suspension, feeling the plushness, feeling that bottom ring resistance. That's what's going to help us drop our lap times and just have more fun getting our throttle therapy. Like I said, I'm your host, Brad Gebhardt, but introducing first time on the podcast. He's got three first names. We're going to get to the bottom of that. Cade Bradley, how's it going?
Yes, sir. We're doing good.
Hey, welcome to the podcast, my friend. First time on the show. Excited to chit chat. I know I've seen you at Loretta Lynn's a couple of years. You've changed brands, not only over the last couple of years, but also very recently. We'll get into that. But before we embark on that journey, let's get straight to the core of who the heck is Cade Bradley? Where is he from? How old is he? And what makes him go?
Yeah. So yeah, I'm 19 years old. I'm from Kingman, Arizona. And, just ride dirt bikes, man, in the desert, you know, growing up. And I've always, you know, gone to tracks. Like I'm a moto guy. I don't prefer desert by any means, but, that's what we got. So, you know, I mean, if I was to ride during the week, it'd be in the desert. And, pretty much the closest track is ACP, which is still 3.5 hours away. So, traveling every weekend to tracks, you know, SoCal, whatever. And then, so that's that.
I guess what everyone's probably wondering is now that the Arizona Coyotes are no longer in state, will you be cheering for the Utah Mammoth this season in the NHL playoffs? You no longer have a hockey team there in Arizona. I'm sure that must break your heart.
You know what? I have nothing about hockey, so I didn't even know. Yeah.
That's probably why they relocated the team to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, shoot, we're probably slacking on the fan base for sure.
Definitely, definitely. Funny story, the Arizona Coyotes came from Winnipeg, my hometown. We didn't support our team enough either, even though we live in it. I think that was an affordability problem. But, so that team now is in Utah and they're doing quite well. First time in the playoffs for quite some time. This isn't a hockey podcast, but I did want to ask since I don't get a lot of Arizonans. Arizonanites?
Yeah, Arizonans. Yeah. Whatever, man.
Yeah. Hey, I'm sure you've been called worse. So when did you first get into motocross? Like you said, you're a track guy. Last time we saw you competing on the grandest stage was at, the Ricky Carmichael Supercross on a Yamaha. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I've been to RCSX twice now. This was my second year, and it's sick. I like going there. Daytona itself is an experience, right? So the track's pretty small for RCSX, but it's always fun. It's just you don't realize how big, like, the NASCAR track is and stuff and in the stadium or whatever, the stands, I guess it is. So it's just rad to see in person and always got good vibes.
So when it comes to the amateur schedule, like a lot of people are familiar with your Texas two-step, World Mini has sort of made its way back into the fray. A lot of guys are kind of hitting that and then hitting Cal Classic. What are some like bucket list events or just earmarked events every single year? I got to be here and I got to do well.
Yep. So, I mean, pretty much, I mean, my goal is to show up anywhere I can, right? And just kind of prove myself, put in some good results and, see what I can do. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if we're going to be at World Mini this year. I haven't done it before. Pretty much been on the East Coast the past couple of years. So it's just, I mean, that's far. But yeah, obviously Loretta's, Minio's, Ponca, I've missed the past couple of years. Spring Nationals done a couple times, but not very consistent there. AZ Open for sure, you know, missed it the last couple of years. Just same thing, been on the East Coast. But yeah, it's, I mean, some kind of winter series or whatever, in Florida, their local race series and Gold Cup. So yeah.
Fair enough. If there is gate drops and a twist throttle, sounds like you're down.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Fair enough. So when it comes to racing big bikes, it can be daunting, that transitionary period of getting off of super minis onto the big bike and eventually having to put in some serious results to grab some attention for sponsors. What was that transition like for you? How long did you stay on super minis before making the full jump? Did you ride a 125 at first? Did you go straight to the four bangers? Tell me a little bit about it.
Yeah, that's a good question. 'Cause that's definitely, I don't know, a pretty important, step, right? And so for me, I went straight from super minis to big bikes, and it was right before Loretta's. It was pretty debatable, right? You know, I mean, you never know what the right decision is. It's right. Just sometimes you got to make one and stick with it. And for me, I was just really having troubles with keeping super minis together. And, I couldn't ride consistently because of that, like getting engines done and, you know, one, it's expensive, but two, like lead time, and it's pretty rough. So, we made the decision to go 250, and I weighed like 105 pounds. I was 15 years old, which I mean is, you know, probably
pretty standard. I was on a 125 at 14, but that's a 125. Yep. So right. Roll of the ball. Right. Back.
Yeah. It's pretty standard, but I was a smaller kid. So it, wasn't the easiest for me. And also a big challenge was I was on a 22.5 factory edition KTM, and like they just came out. Mm-hmm. And so no one had any like spring rates made for them yet for, I obviously needed a softer spring rate.
Right.
And yeah, there was just nothing available since they were so new. And I ran it, dude. Just, I was 105 pounds, stock suspension, stock spring rate. And I raced regionals on it and stuff. I didn't end up making it, but yeah, it was a transition.
No kidding. And like, I think maybe you can shed some light on this is like one of my favorite classes, I think maybe my favorite class at Loretta is Super Mini 1 and 2. Like the bikes are super, super exotic. Oh, yeah. They're all little rocket ships. The kids who ride them only know one thing, and it's just to do this and basically modulate the engine with the clutch. Tough to keep those bikes together. It's expensive. And like you said, like these engines are at the limit. So if you're putting a lot of time on them, we can't excel at the sport without practicing, and we can't practice without going essentially race pace. So the time that we're having to put on these engines that are at the limit to begin with is kind of crazy. And what was that time period like for you? Like I'm sure you remember probably weeks at a time having to be off the bike or you don't have your number one, like the bike you want to ride because the engine's out or we haven't gotten it back from such and such or suspension. Yep. I'd imagine trying to set up a super mini for suspension, Bobby, you got bigger wheels that were in typically a longer swing arm. The bike was never designed for that for the most part, unless you're on a KTM. And yeah, like trying to get things back from either suspension guy, and people work really hard to do quick turnaround, but you guys ride every week. So, kind of like shed some light on that if you could.
Yeah. So for me, like super minis was rad. I loved my super mini and, I had 2 112s.
You still have any of them?
No, they're all gone. I know we did sell one though in town and I think it's still around. So they're trying to sell it again. So that'd be rad, but no, it's, they're sick, man. And I feel like just having a bike that fast and everything, it helps you excel so much. Right. But yeah, there was one time, I was at a area qualifier, I believe at ACP, and both of my bikes were broken and I ended up racing my little brother's 85 like that weekend.
There you go. Hey, we're resourceful, we're pivotal. I think we're going to get a little bit more into that in a few moments here. But yeah, super minis are wild. In fact, I think like there's like an equal parts crazy for the super mini parents and the P-dub parents.
Oh yeah.
And not to say everybody's cheating, but they were probably all cheating. And it was the funniest thing at the end of last year at like the last moto of the day is super mini two. And like, I'm like, I never raced at a high level. My bikes were for the most part pretty stock, aside from a couple bolt-on parts and stuff like that. So I'm just looking at, Darren Pine's super mini after just crushing it. The thing is like, I'm just taking a look at it and like, who does he work with? What's his name there? Kid from Texas. Oh, I'm free. I don't remember his name later. But like Darren Pine's old man walks through and we're like, what are you looking at?
Yeah.
I'm like, what would I see?
Yeah. Yeah. What's the problem? You know,
like, is there anything that I could possibly see on the outside of this motorcycle that would possibly be cheating? Like, yeah, it's wild. You know what I mean? And like to get those things to do what you need them to do, it is, yeah, it's some fine tuning, man. I don't envy that part of my, eventually I'll be a moto dad and the super mini world.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll hang out there that long. I think it's scary.
Yeah. Yeah. Get in and get out, man.
Fair enough. So, you were on Yamahas for a number, like at least the 2025 season. And then we saw you on a Yamaha at the RCSX. Who put a bug in your ear about this Ultimate Rider, competition? What made you want to go out for it? Because as sort of like a privately funded amateur program as you were and as you are, like you work very hard to develop relationships with companies that you've been working with for a long period of time. Sponsorship is hard to come by in this world, whether there's money involved, whether there's free product involved, or just a good relationship where you can reliably get parts it's tough. So what was sort of that process of applying for it? Did you reach out to some of your sponsors, be like, hey, this is a really cool opportunity, I'd like to pursue it? How did you approach that?
Right. So, I didn't really reach out to anyone. It was,
smart,
really nerve wracking, like for me personally, right? Like just even making the video to submit it. And it took me, like, I saw it myself on Instagram. So that was what like kind of ignited that for me. And, it took me a while to, like submit for evaluation day. And, just, you know, weeks were going by and the closing date, like the deadline was coming up. And I just, I told my parents, I was like, dude, I think I need to do this. And I put a lot of thought into it and I didn't want to miss out on it. Just, it seems like almost too good to be true. Right. So, we had to do it.
So you sent the application program or application in, you made the post. How did those guys reach out? And then from there, it's a bit of a sprint because I think the whole thing kind of came together over a short period of time. And then they almost kind of did it like a reality TV show style where like kind of people are thrown in, you're using a lot of your own bike, your own gear and stuff like that. I noticed you're an Alpine Star helmet guy. And then, you pit yourself against some formidable opponents. Like there's some serious dudes in there.
Oh yeah.
You find yourself coming out on top of the Ultimate Rider.
Yep.
How did you make that happen? And, take us through a little bit of like sort of being ushered into the team a little bit and what that's going to look like going forward.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much it was a 2-week competition, right? We all stayed in the same house. I had fun the whole time, right? I think I can speak for pretty much everyone. And I think the key was just pretty much maintaining like solid attitude. Definitely going fast helps. I was not ever like the top guy, right? I mean, we had a bunch of gnarly competition like Kobush and Baseflug and, you know, Freehill, Millet. I mean, I can't literally all 16 people, right? So I just tried to lock in every day and really put just a lot of emphasis on what I was doing, just execute to the best of my abilities. And, I think I did that pretty well. You know, I stayed fairly consistent and, it ended up being enough for Mark and Neil and Backwood Bob to give me the okay, right?
Absolutely, and that must have been, put a ton of wind in your sails. You're a guy who's been chipping away at this for quite some time. And at 19 years old, it kind of like, I'm sure you start to feel a little bit of pressure. Like, I need to put myself on a program and somebody who's going to take me to the next level. Because for the most part, like, getting to that next level when you're privately funded is damn near impossible at the best of times.
Yep.
What does this mean for your hopes and dreams moving forward and ultimately living out that dream of being a professional motocross, professional supercross rider, and also doing some off-road stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's great. Like, my parents have been obviously great. Like, I don't have a job or anything. Never have. And that's just been like, I ride 4 days
that's
a week,
rad.
You know, train at MTF.
That's rad.
And, you know, I do what I can, just like helping out around the house. But I mean, I wouldn't say it exactly evens out, you know, and, you know, I know their support's not going to last forever. So this is huge for me. And, I'm hoping I can just like really prove it to everyone that, you know, I belong, and even myself, you know, I want to stay there and make it last forever. And hopefully, like, from here on out, I can just stay on a team and, hopefully provide for them.
Certainly. And you do have a full-time job. It's going insanely fast on a dirt bike. And that should be the focus, from the moment you wake up to the moment you brush your teeth before you go to bed each night. And I'm sure you're probably getting into bed nice and early. If you're given that opportunity to focus wholly on it, there's not a lot of people who get that opportunity. Must be pretty easy for you to just kind of like go all in, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, for me, like, I enjoy pretty much everything about like moto and just the whole lifestyle in general. So like, yeah, it's just what I do. I've accepted it, and every day, just, yeah, like you said, all in. And that's how it goes.
So where are you based now, and what does the future of the next few months look like? And sort of with, when the team welcomes you to the team, is that for the remainder of 2026? Is that like the remainder of the work series? What does that look like?
Yeah. So like that's all unknown to me even. Like I haven't signed anything yet. I haven't seen anything. It's just been verbal.
This is very motocross.
Yep. And which we're working on it. I get to ride the bike Thursday. So it's Tuesday now, the 14th. I got 2 days and I can't wait to get on the rig. But yeah, as far as like a schedule goes, we're still pretty green, pretty fresh. Like, I'm still in Arizona now. I don't know when we're going to get back out to MTF. Like, we're planning to get back out there as soon as possible. And at this point, I mean, yeah, we just don't know if we're going to do qualifiers out here, qualifiers out east. So it's all in the air right now.
Fair enough. Time is ticking in that regard, though, figuring out exactly, like, have you ridden some areas and some you must have ridden some areas already, no?
I've done one regional. Southeast.
Southeast. So how does this, like, maybe you can answer this for me. If you qualify or you went through in the area, that's where you have to go for the regional, correct?
Yes, but there's this weekend we're planning on going to a dual qualifier at Bunker Hill.
Okay. So oh, yeah. I know the Brough family really well, so yep. That's awesome.
Yeah, they're rad. Yeah. So that would get us out here for West Coast Regional, right? So,
what class would you be be entering for qualifying for that?
The
pro sport,
both things. Yeah,
both pro sports. So you're gonna have to deal with the Brough brothers.
Yeah, I guess so.
Just get you Always. And Gav going at it.
Yeah.
Have you been up to Mesquite and raced a bunch there, or what?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, much like super many days, right? I'd go out, do the Moto 86 series and Thanksgiving Classic, the state championship there. So, yeah.
Oh, so you've sawed off Gavin Bruff's front wheel like 1,000 times.
I wouldn't say that. He's
he goes pretty quick. He's
generally a little ways up the track from me, and we're generally on different gate drops, you know, different classes. So, I mean, this might even be like my first time racing him. So we'll see.
There you go. Well, you're going to have to give him the what for, but, like how much of your stuff is still at MTF, and how often, like, is it like a daily thing where you're like, oh, I want to go find that. Oh wait, that's at MTF.
Yeah. Honestly, we did like a pretty solid pack up job. Okay. So, we brought all of our bikes over here. We were planning to sell them. So okay. They tend to sell easier in Kingman than Georgia, you know?
Yeah.
So we brought a bunch of just all of our parts, all of our bikes. I pretty much just grabbed all my clothes on the hangers, just put them in the motorhome. And so, I mean, yeah, we traveled pretty heavy. Like, I think we have pretty much everything. So.
Unfortunately, I've had to move a lot over the last, like maybe 10 years or so. My move is I take garbage bags and I like cut a hole in the top and just like grab some hangers and push that sucker through.
Yeah.
Tie it at the bottom. So when you get to wherever you're going, hang that fucker back where it was and then just take the garbage bag off. And we're like, we're cooking.
Yep.
Awesome, dude. What's the nutrition look like for you? Are you doing all of your own meals? What with the training program? Do you build your own program, or who do you go off of to figure out that you're preparing the body right to go really fast on a dirt bike?
Yeah. So before I was at MTF, I was training at Next Level with Gavin Graysick, which is K-Row as well. And
got lots of time for Gavin Graysick. Good guy.
Yeah, he gave me some pretty solid tools. Right. I mean, just. There at one point, you know, I was just counting protein and carbs, and that was working. Obviously just trying to keep it as clean as possible, but I mean, I don't have meals like set, you know, I don't eat one thing. Mm-hmm. I just eat, you know, and try to stay getting protein, carbs. And then MTF has me, on a calorie count, right? So like, they want me hitting a certain amount of calories, so I try to do that.
So, curious, what's your daily maintenance at?
3,200.
That's high. Jeez, yeah. You must burn. Yeah, like if you're doing 30s, if you're riding a lot or you're training a lot, that's a
training day.
Yeah, that's training. Yeah, that's wild. Like for those who are like kind of curious, like my maintenance calories is 2,200 right now.
Right.
It's 1,000, like, so you're eating basically almost at least a meal and a half more than I am. Right. Yeah. And I'm just working construction up here in Canada. So that's wild.
Yep. It's a lot, man. You got to put down the food, get fueled up, and, helps recover, build everything, you know?
What's the best, if Cade Bradley's having someone over for dinner, what are you making? What's like the dish that you know how to make other than a grilled cheese?
I mean, honestly, I like steak, you know, like I like a good steak and baked
keep it
potato.
Simple.
It's just good every time. It's always hearty, you know, I mean, it takes some, energy to metabolize and break down, but like I like steak.
There you know, we go steak and potato all day, every day of the week if we have to. Goals for the remainder of this year and in the future, where would you like to see yourself? This year, 3 years, 5 years from now.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously I want to do, I mean, Loretta's is kind of the next big race, right?
Right.
So, I think my mindset now would maybe be top 10 there. And you know, that, you know, I mean, we still got some time to work in between now and then. So, I mean, we'll see. Hopefully close up some gaps, you know. And then, but like long term, I mean, the main goal is to, you know, be on a team and just make a living riding dirt bikes. Like that would be so rad.
Yeah. That's the pinnacle of it, my friend. What are you going to do to make sure that happens?
Dude, just keep riding, and just, you know, keep my head down, stay training, stick to what I know, you know, just riding, training. That's about it. Racing, you know.
I appreciate that. What moto video did you watch so many times that your mom could probably recite half of the lyrics to the, like, the soundtrack?
Youthful Edge.
Hell yeah. Youthful Edge
was heavy. Yep. Yeah. I was a big fan of, like, you
just
know,
playing
Porter,
it again.
Cantrell.
Yeah.
Drake, dude, just all those guys. It's rad.
I like it. Who's like, what's been your biggest, like, sort of like, I can't believe I'm here moment of your journey? Cause you've gotten a chance to ride with some pretty good, pretty bad dudes over the years.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So like being in Cairo, I had the opportunity to like go to Star a couple times and, you know, ride their track, which was like so sick. And even, you know, Star comes around, bounces around to different facilities some days. So like, you're riding with all them guys, like literally on the track with them. It's just you and them pretty much, right? So, and your group. So that's rad. Been to, ride at Josh Grant's place a couple times. So like,
rad. That's like, a style master. I don't care what anybody says. Dude, yeah. Josh is, he's slick with it.
Yeah. So like, I mean, those two are right off the top of my head, but you know, there's so many other like experiences that I've had that are just mind blowing, right?
Yeah. I'm sure half the time you just like look over, you're like, yeah, ain't no way. Yeah. But, we keep it rolling with the punches. You're on the bike on Thursday. I'm very curious on your feedback of just sort of how it is in comparison from your Yamaha. But as we mentioned off the rip, this required you to go reach out to some other sponsors. This required you to change sponsors in a lot of ways. What was that conversation like, with some of the companies you're not able to move forward with? And, how excited was a company like O'Neill to know that they're going to be able to continue working with you? Cause you were an O'Neill athlete, at January, and you are so far that way in April.
Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, as far as companies go, you know, that I was previously sponsored by was obviously O'Neill, X Brand, Maxima,
Rich,
Pro Filter. I mean, it's fairly limited. Factory
probably
Connection.
Dunlop.
Factory Connection.
Factory Connection. Oh, Z.
I've been with them forever, and you know, we did some testing with them at MTF. They come by, and yeah, they've been great. So, I may not be sticking with them, which is, I mean, not, it's whatever, right? You know, I mean,
this happens in racing. There's a new opportunity, and like, hopefully any situation or any partnership that you had before that you're not able to continue with, I think the biggest thing is a reach out and an appreciation message for the support they've had so far. And hopes that like they understand this is a great opportunity for you and you'd hope to work with them in the future. That's all it is, right?
Right. Right. But honestly, like, the deal is pretty sweet. Like, I don't really know other than that. I think I can pretty much keep everything. There hasn't been too many conflicting things going on. So, I mean, that's been great. Like, definitely the O'Neill thing is sick. I've been on with them for a while. You know, the gear's good. I feel like, I don't know, I just kind of fit it good and, feel like it's a solid brand to represent.
Awesome, dude. Well, I'm really looking forward to seeing, what comes of this. I was so excited to see you, competing in this. As soon as I saw your video, I'm like, the kid's going to be absolutely perfect for that, that situation and that team. I think that'd be like you've got a decent following on social. It's starting to grow. I think you're pretty infectious as far as your energy that you bring to it. It's very genuine. So I honestly wish you all the best with it, man. I think it's going to be a great venture for you and, should be good.
Well, thank you, man. It means a lot. I mean, you know, everyone tries, you know, just to get along and be friends with everyone, and it doesn't always work out, but you know, that's the route we're going with.
Killer, man. Well, looking forward to hearing back from you on Thursday. Here on a Tuesday, run down some sponsors and some supporters that you've had, including those, of course, your family unit that's been in your corner from day one. And then I'll let you get on with the rest of your evening.
Yeah. I mean, obviously mom and dad just chilling under their roof, and they've been buying me bikes, you know, my whole life. I mean, sacrificed so much. All their time pretty much goes into racing. So that's kind of their life too, you know, and they gave up theirs for that. So yeah, shout out mom and dad, and O'Neill, Factory Connection, Maxima, Pro Filter, Tamer. Those are my boys. So thanks everyone. And, it's been great.
Absolutely. And with that new Pro Circuit exhaust on that Honda, she'll be barking.
That's right.
Cade Bradley here on the Big MX Radio podcast. Let's have you on in a little while. See where things are at. Sound good? Yeah.
Run it back for round two. Just let me know.
Awesome, dude. Well, don't hang up just yet, but for podcast sake, let's cut it off right there.
Yep.